The epistle for the Quinquagesima Sunday today, taken from St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 13. Brethren, if I should speak with the tongues of men and of angels and do not have charity, I have become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And if I have prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, yet do not have charity, I am nothing. And if I distribute my goods to feed the poor, and if I deliver my body to be burned, yet do not have charity, it profits me nothing. Charity is patient, is kind. Charity does not envy, is not pretentious, is not puffed up, is not ambitious, is not self-seeking, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice over wickedness, but rejoices with the truth, bears with all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Charity never fails, whereas prophecies will disappear, and tongues will cease, and knowledge will be destroyed. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect has come, that which is imperfect will be done away with. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I felt as a child, I thought as a child. Now that I have become a man, I have put away the things of a child. We see now through a mirror in an obscure manner, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as I have been known. So there abide faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. And then the gospel is taken from that according to St. Luke chapter 18. At that time, Jesus, taking to himself the 12, said to them, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all things that have been written through the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished. For he will be delivered to the Gentiles, and will be mocked and scourged and spit upon. And after they have scourged him, they will put him to death, and on the third day he will rise again." And they understood none of these things, and this saying was hidden from them. Neither did they get to know the things that were being said. Now it came to pass, as he drew near to Jericho, that a certain blind man was sitting by the wayside, begging. But hearing a crowd passing by, he inquired what this might be. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he cried out, saying, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And they who went in front angrily tried to silence him, but he cried out all the louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Then Jesus stopped and commanded that he should be brought to him. And when he drew near, he asked him, saying, "What wouldst thou have me do for thee?" And he said, "Lord, that I may see." And Jesus said to him, "Receive thy sight, thy faith has saved thee." And at once he received his sight, and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, upon seeing it, gave praise to God. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. St. Thomas Aquinas tells us that the highest form of contemplation is to share with charity that which we have contemplated. The highest thing a man can do is contemplate divine truth, contemplate Christ, contemplate his life and death. But then, says St. Thomas, there is the sharing of the contemplation, which this act of charity is called preaching. In fact, that's what the priest does at the pulpit, shares contemplation. And he calls it the greatest act of charity that can be done in this life, the sharing of contemplation, and that this is a preaching. And so, concerning this week on Ash Wednesday, there is going to open in the movie theaters, 2,800 movie theaters throughout the country, the movie The Passion of the Christ by Mel Gibson. And this movie is a contemplation. Mel Gibson himself calls it that. It is not a historical documentary. It's a contemplation. And it is a contemplation so that we may have aletheia, he says, from the Greek word, that we may have an unforgetting. That there is a moment in history which is the most important of all of time. And that was the moment that Jesus Christ hung upon the cross. And we must not forget this moment. But we contemplate it. In this movie, said Mel Gibson, it is my aletheia. That it not be forgotten. That this contemplation turn into an experience and not just simply that we articulate or discuss. And he said in his production of this movie that his purpose is to show the connection between the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, his death upon the cross, and the Mass, and particularly the Latin Tridentine Mass. He wanted to show two things in the contemplation of the Passion. One, the intimate connection between the Last Supper and the crucifix, that it is the real Mass. You know that Mel Gibson, or those who do not know, only attends the Latin Tridentine Mass. And that it is from the source of the Latin Tridentine Mass and his meditations at this Mass that he received his understanding of how to portray this most important event in history on film. And that he wishes that it lead to the Mass. His contemplation came from the Mass. And he wishes that those see it be led subtly but clearly to the Mass. So that's the first thing. And the second is the intimate connection between the cross and the Blessed Virgin Mary. That she was with Jesus Christ from the beginning of the Passion and throughout the entirety of the Passion, she was the co-redemptrix. And he wished to portray these two ideas. And to believe that he does so successfully, and that this is a potential great apostolate for the spreading of the faith. Who do men say that I am, and where do we go from here? It is a question. There have been many attacks in the media against this movie, against Mel Gibson, against his father. Many attacks against Christ himself. And statements that this will be the greatest blunder of his career. He will go bankrupt and so on. But he is going to portray the Passion as it really was. And not in such a way that the moderns would like it to be portrayed. That no one was guilty. That there was no sin. That the divine love did not require the shedding of blood. The modern Catholics don't believe that love requires blood. And the moderns don't believe that this blood must be shed not only to show the real love of Jesus Christ, but in order to eradicate the only evil and the greatest evil, which is sin. Sin is something, says Bishop Sheen, that the bad thief refused to think about. He was on the cross. He was dying. But all he could say was, take me down. Make the pain stop. If you are God, you will make the pain stop. You will take me down so I can go back to living a life of sin. And I can go back to living a life of a thief and an impure man. Take me down if you are God. This is the view of modern man. The modern Christ, in the view of modern man, is one who takes people down from the cross. But this Jesus Christ is not the real Jesus Christ. It is the real Jesus Christ that Mel Gibson wishes to portray in his story. He did not take down from the cross. He went to death. And his death was because of sin. Because of the sin of the Jews at the time that they sent him to death, and because of the sins of all men, and particularly my sins. And I want to go through a commentary, try not to go through as long as at the first Mass. Went on too long at the first Mass. We'll try to brief it, to make it more brief. On just simply a theological consideration of the way in which Mel Gibson lays out in his story the event of the crucifixion. And here in simply a trailer that was put out about a year ago, some 4.5-minute trailer, and went through last night and wrote down the order and sequence of the scenes, the way that he lays things out, the principles that are enunciated, and the what makes it tick, so to speak. And we'll see that in the very beginning of this trailer, we see our Lord Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane saying in the Aramaic language, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. At the very end, we see him rise up over the woman taken in adultery and forgive her sins and send her away. It begins with, let this cup pass from me. It ends with his rising up as a symbol of the resurrection and the forgiveness of the sins of the woman taken in adultery. And in between is what made everything work. And that is his passion and death. And a sense of the real battle that takes place. And I'll try not to go through everything I did this morning, but just some things. In this agony in the garden, the first thing we see is our Lord in the garden asking that the cup be taken away. And he films the movie in the original languages. And one of the theological points we want to make clear is that the ideas portrayed in this film can only come from the Latin Tridentine Mass. That is their source. First of all, the language. The most obvious thing. Many of you, or I would hope all of you, go and watch the movie, and you will see that you do not perhaps speak Aramaic very well, neither do you speak Latin very well, neither do you speak Greek very well. But if you do not know what is happening, you're an idiot. And many people say, I can't go to the Latin Mass because I don't know what's going on. Our children by the age of 5 that attend this Mass know what's happening on the altar. Jesus is dying for real in an unbloody manner, but for real on that altar. It is the crucifix that is going to happen in a real way in a few hours. In a few minutes, actually, or hours, depending upon how long the sermon is. But in any case, whenever, soon. Last week, Father Somerville was at the priest meeting with 60 priests. There were 60 of us priests at the meeting, about 65 seminarians, 120 of us fighting for our choir stall places. One of the priests at the priest meeting was Father Somerville, who was one of the priests who said the Latin Mass every day for Mel Gibson during 7 of the 15 weeks of the shooting of the film. And one day he told Mel after the Mass, Mel Gibson went to Mass every single day, wanted to make sure that it was the inspiration of his directing. That he would not miss one Mass, one day without the Mass, not one. And that he would be at the Mass, and he would meditate at the Mass, and then he would go out and direct. He would find himself in the chapel also, meditating on how to best portray. And his inspiration explicitly came from the Latin Tridentine Mass. And Father Somerville was one of the priests, and a Canadian priest we spoke with last week, who is a friend of the society, been helping us for several years. And he said one day after the Mass, he said, you know, Mel, you're spending over $12 million, in fact, it's more than $30 million, to portray a representation of what happened on the cross. When each morning you can spend 30 minutes with me and receive the real cross free of charge. That's what the Mass is. The real cross. And when he produced the theology that is contained in the film, it came from the Mass. And we need to make sure that I'm going to send apostles out. I want to send you out. We're going to make a flyer in the next few days. We want to go out to movie theaters and show the people that come out of this theater, where do we go from here? Where do we go? Perhaps when you come out of this theater, you see the sufferings of Jesus Christ and you have a sense that I was involved in that. And it's beautifully shown by the portrayal of the connection of the various kinds of sinners to the cross. And each one of us can have something we point to. Father Somerville even told me he saw in the movies a couple of the things that pointed to him. How we are each involved with the cross. Now, it begins with the fall. The first scene in the after the agony in the garden in the trailer of a year ago, Judas catching the 30 pieces of silver. He is betraying Christ. He makes the decision to betray Christ. So he hasn't put it into practice yet. And the 30 pieces of silver comes into his hands and some of the silver drops to the floor. And then the next thing that we see is a woman who portrays Satan and then a serpent. And we are reminded of Genesis chapter 3:16. In the very first passage that it says, I will put enmities between thee and the woman. And here it is in the very beginning. Judas begins to betray. There is a serpent. And then the face of Mary looking. And the Blessed Virgin sees Judas and his betrayal. Sees the serpent. She knows her enemy. She knows what she is about. She is intrinsically involved in the passion. From the beginning. Which Mel Gibson himself said is one of the principal points he wanted to make clear. She's involved from the beginning. And she knows what the fight is about. It is against sin. And against the author of sin. And at the very end of the trailer, almost the last scene, we see that same serpent come back, and then the foot of a woman crushes the head of the serpent. Blessed Virgin crushes his head just at the moment that he believes that he has attained victory. And in between, there is this connection between man's conscience. There is a sense of our sin. It touches the conscience. One of the interesting characters portrayed is Pontius Pilate. Pontius Pilate sends Christ to death, but he wants to feel innocent. It's not really his fault. And another person himself portrayed, and what I think makes this the Mass, where one of the signs we see that this vision comes from the Latin Mass, when a priest goes to the Latin Tridentine Mass, when I say the Mass, I do not only ask forgiveness for your sins, but I ask forgiveness firstly for my sins. And that's why at the beginning of Mass, we bow over and say the Confiteor. I confess to Almighty God, the Blessed Virgin Mary, and before all you brethren, that I, the priest that am saying this Mass, am a sinner. And here we see it in Mel Gibson's portrayal of the Passion, that he does the same thing, that he shows himself as a sinner. And one of the simple symbols is that in the scene in which the nails are driven through the hand of Christ, Mel Gibson made sure that no actor held the nail. It is his hand, the hand of Mel Gibson, that holds the nail. And his hand is over Christ. To say publicly to the world that I am the one who put Jesus Christ on the cross. I, Mel Gibson. And we say the same thing in every Latin Mass. I, Father Joe Pfeiffer, am the one who put Jesus Christ on the cross. I'm going to celebrate the cross, make it present on the altar, but I begin by, I go to the altar of God, to God to give us joy to my youth. But the God whom I have offended, me, there's something very personal in the Latin Mass consideration of the cross. That whole part about the Confiteor has been dropped out of the new Mass. And that inspiration could not come from the new Mass. And then also, our Lord Jesus Christ looks over at the one who nails him to the cross. And so he puts himself into the story because he's really there. And then all the different kinds of characters. And it's interesting also, the conscience. Immediately after the showing of the nail and the cross is driven into the nail is driven into the hand of our Lord Jesus Christ, there is the next scene is Pilate washing his hands. And we see this mystery that goes on in our conscience. Lord, I'm sorry for my sins, but it's really not my fault. This war that goes on inside of our conscience. I know I'm responsible for putting you on the cross, but really it's everyone else's fault. It's not my fault. And so Pilate holds up his hands and says, I've done everything I can for this man. And then he washes his hands. I am innocent of the blood of this just man. And so he says those words. And then immediately after he claims his innocence, we see Christ lifted up on the cross. We claim innocence and we crucify him. And then, immediately, the Mass. We see our Lord at the Last Supper, this is my body. And then we see the crucifix, Jesus Christ hanging upon it saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then to the elevation of the chalice, and then back to the blood dripping to the ground, showing that the Mass is not a reminder of the Passion, it is the Passion. It is the reality. And that it is not a memorial service. We deal with the reality of Jesus Christ and His cross when you come to the Latin Mass. Not a game, not a memorial, not a storybook, but reality. And then he switches to the view of all the various spectators of the cross. Mary Magdalene, looking up with sorrow for her sins. Caiaphas, looking with glee upon Christ dying upon the cross. A Roman soldier who looks to the cross, and we know not whether he shall be sorrowful and be saved or whether or not he shall be damned. And then the woman taken in adultery. We'll go back to her. The one who knelt before our Lord Jesus Christ when she was condemned by the Pharisees to be stoned to death. And his interesting connection that he makes, Caiaphas's trial. Caiaphas, who stood for purity of the law. And immediately after Caiaphas's trial, we see the woman taken in adultery, who was accused of being impure. And yet those priests that accused her were not pure themselves. And yet in the name of purity, they're going to condemn Jesus Christ and then scourge him and crown him with thorns. And then the view also of the Pietà. And once again, Pilate alone in his room, looking, trying to say, it's not my fault, it's not my fault, it's not my fault. And yet it is. And then switching out again to Blessed Virgin Mary holding Jesus Christ as the Pietà in her arms, the dead Jesus Christ. And then the scene switches immediately to the devil, portrayed as a woman in glee. And then the serpent. And the serpent believes it is one, but then the foot of the woman comes and crushes his head. And there is the defeat and then the resurrection. And so there are some beautiful pictures contained. For instance, in one of the scenes, Pilate stands up and says, Ecce homo, behold the man. Behold the man, behold your king. And immediately we see Christ in the crowd, being beaten by the mob. That is the way they treat their king. And anyone that has eyes to, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. He that has eyes to see, let him see. We are all members of the crowd. We are each of us like unto Mary Magdalene. And even the apostles who run away, one of them runs away naked. The only two that are innocent are the Blessed Virgin and Jesus Christ. And they are the ones that suffer. And this is the theology of the faith. There is no other theology portrayed. And what I want to make sure that we do is we take advantage. Dr. Father Ward last week was producing a flyer himself. We're going to produce one here. To go out to those movie theaters and to capture the souls. And who are the ones that are going to come back? The blind. The blind who the world wants to stifle, like in the gospel today, they are the ones who will come back. What is it that, who is passing by? Jesus of Nazareth. Master, have mercy on me. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And they try to stifle him. What do you want? That I may see. And whoever asks that question, we want to be able to put the truth before their eyes, that they may see. If you want peace in your heart, you need the Latin Mass. You need the real Calvary and the confession that comes along with it, the sacrament of penance. And so we'll make these little flyers somehow between now and then. And then I want you to sign up. There's a paper in the back of the church. We just made up. You sign your name, your phone number. We'll get in contact with you. Hand over the flyers. And we'll stake out the various theaters in the Denver area. We'll go to there and we'll show to these people, this is the answer. You went to see a movie, but you didn't see a story. You saw something real. And it has real consequences. And the real consequences are, come back to the Mass. The real consequences are, come back to the faith. And come back to the confessional. And there's a place where you can come back. And that's here. Here at St. Isidore's. And so we're going to give them the faith. We're going to take advantage of the situation that Providence has given us and try to capture souls. We're in the business of capturing souls. Let's make sure that we do our part. And so, don't be afraid. And as our Lord said, when you argue with people or discuss with people who are well disposed, think not what you shall say, but rather pray. And God will give you the grace to say the right thing, and to be able to encourage someone to come back to the faith. And so let's make sure that we strive to do that effectively in the next few weeks. The first thing we'll do is put together this flyer. We'll go out to the theaters. We're going to see the movie, see the Catholic connotations that are contained inside of it, discuss them, particularly the Blessed Virgin Mary and the Holy Eucharist. No crucifix equals no Holy Eucharist. No Blessed Virgin Mary equals no cross. We need the Blessed Virgin and we need the Holy Eucharist and we need the real Mass in order for men to be saved. It's not an option. It's necessary. And so let's bring people to this necessary conclusion. And in any case, I'll close it at that and then ask that at the end of the Mass, you just sign up the little paper there and then we'll take it from there. But in any case, God bless you all. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.